We're not positive. We say all kind of wrong things, and it's because our mouth is not right. But thanks be to God, let God cleanse your lips. You know how it is when you're down. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. You know how it is when you're down. This stuff that I'm going through seems like every time I turn around, the devil just keep knocking me down. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I can't see my way out. You know how we talk? When you're down, God will lift you. We talk all that negativity, but then God said, let me clean your mouth up. It's important for us to say the right things, because the Bible says in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said that you are snared by the words of your mouth. What is he saying? And what? I set a trap for my own self because of what I say. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I set a trap for my own self because I don't know how to talk, because I say the wrong things. Anybody with me today? I say the wrong stuff. When I keep saying I'm sick and tired, and guess what? You are sick and you're tired. When you say this got on my last nerve, now you can't take nothing else. Oh, come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, we say all kinds of stuff that mess up our path because we're negative. But Isaiah's mouth was cleansed. He says, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity. Look, not only does God deal with what he said, but he deals with what's down on the inside. Iniquity is a hidden guilt. Iniquity is beneath the surface. That's why when the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity, a bruise is under the skin, right? And so what Jesus did, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was bruised for the things that are underneath this flesh, the hidden things that we don't tell nobody, the mess that we know we got going on the inside of us that we're ashamed to talk about, ashamed to confess. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, he said, and thy iniquity has been taken away. Your guilt has been taken away, and your sin has been purged. In other words, I've cleaned you up, and I've cleaned your mouth up so that you'll be able to do what I want you to do. And he says in verse number 8, after he come to church, going somewhere, after he had been in the temple and saw the Lord, after he confessed and was converted, after he was cleaned up, verse 8 says, I heard the voice. You can't hear God till you get it right. You can't hear God till your mouth is right. You can't hear God till your heart is right. You can't hear God till you start seeking God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He tells us that we need, he said that he'll reward us that diligently what? Seek him. We need to seek the Lord. And so, in other words, now that he had had, and he had envisioned this, he had encountered, and he was enlightened.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, Yes. 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport. 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez. 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I'd like to call your attention to the book of Job this morning. Chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And because the text is clear, there may not be a whole lot of illumination on the portions before I get to the part that I want to lift out, which is verse 20 through 22. But certainly they will be included for the sake of a fuller understanding. Verse 20 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject this morning, being thankful in troubled times. Being thankful in troubled times. I think if you get nothing else out of this message this morning, hopefully you will understand that there is a way that you can be thankful while you're going through your troubled times. If the devil can do anything that he would consider a major victory, it is to keep your eyes off the focus of your source and put it on your situation or the lack of your supply. Now, may I suggest to you, if God is your source, then your situation won't last long. Even the world has figured out that tough times don't last long, but tough people do. And if you are a child of God, you're going to understand that trouble is no unfamiliar thing to the believer, because as you go through this life, you're going to determine that God allows things to happen to you. It's going to be clear in the text also that God does not put bad times on you, but he does allow you to go through bad times. But those tough times serve as strength training for you. And it's always, you don't have to have a need for strength training unless there's a need for strength. And God never allows more to be put on you than what you can bear. So the next time, or if you're already going through presently some troubled time, just say, "Lord, I thank you for the strength training." See, sometimes, is there ever a time in your walk you feel like you just can't make it another step? Well, if you've gotten a good exercise program, you don't really feel, nor do you push the muscles to their limit until you get to that point where you have to push it up that next. When it's just as easy, you stop, you ain't did no strength training. You did a little exercise, but you didn't really do any strength training. Now look at this, because I want you to see the text and give you a full picture, because I want to read the verses, because all of this makes sense when you get to verse 20. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now listen to this verse 11 again. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now remember, who is this speaking? This is Satan telling God, challenging God, trying to fool God, trying to mess with the character of God. God doesn't send blessings and cursings out the same place. He's the blesser. Satan is the curser. And he's trying to get God to change who he is. Verse 12 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy, your power, Satan. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now look at this now. Now after having four messengers come and literally rip Job's world apart, Satan hit Job with his best shot. Listen at this now, because now how many of us, and before I go back to this, how many of us can barely deal with one bad notice of a day? I mean, just one bad thing that happened today is enough to floor you. But look at this, literally in one day, everything Job owned, all of his livestock, his servants, all of his children, and all of these things happened at one time, almost
instantaneously, one behind another. When one servant got through with one bad report, here comes another. If it weren't bad enough, here comes another. After he finishes, here comes another. Yeah. Now, after all of this bad news, look at the report and the record about Job. Verse 20, the first three words says what? See, if you understood it, you'd be shouting right about now. After he got all of the stuff that would have, we'd have been passed out. When the last, listen, when the last report came, everything that the enemy could throw at Job, he just said, I know he's going to get up and curse God. Matter of fact, I don't think he's going to get up. And he's going to begin cursing God right there. The moment the last report came, Job kind of looked around to see, is there any more coming? And when he ain't see nobody else coming, the next word says, then. Job said, in essence, it's my turn. See, that's the mentality you ought to have when the devil starts bringing all of that mess and all that stuff. You just let him hit you with your best shot only because, listen at this, you know how to handle the situation if you know who your source is. When he does everything he can do to hit Job with everything he had, he recognized he underestimated this boy. He understand now that he didn't realize what he was really made of and who he really was and whose he really was. And more than that, he didn't know Job knew who he really was and whose he really was. So when he got through with everything he did, the Bible says, then Job arose. Now, can I tell you what that does to the enemy when the enemy has slammed you, jammed you, done everything they could, and you do this? And stand up. I mean, you've seen movies, don't you, when somebody haul off and boom in the bedroom. And you know, you like, you better get the packing because you about to get killed now. Well, the devil knew he missed it, and he messed up when Job did not stay down. Job was only sitting down when the witnesses of all that had happened had come, and he just knew that he would never rise from that. The first three words said, Job, then Job arose. You see, when trouble comes, that's not the time for you to get weak. When trouble comes, that's not the time for you to start whining. When trouble comes, that's not the time for you to have pity parties. Because you've already realized by this point that there is a bet out that you can't handle what the enemy has thrown against you. And listen at this, God, and I keep telling you that when you look at this situation, God promotes this fight. I've said this before. I preached this to you, so you need to understand. This is not just about Job. This is about understanding how God operates. God spotlights Job because he understands the devil has come. He's in meeting.
Yes, yes, yes.
The angels are there. Satan pops up in the church service.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody else recognizes him, but God does.
Yeah, yeah.
He say, Satan, where you come from? He said, listen, Lord, I've been going up and forth, down and oh. Well, why was he going? What was his point? I've been looking for somebody to beat up on. And I couldn't find nobody, so I thought I'd come to church. Y'all ain't getting it. Now listen at this. The Lord says, because he got to stop the service and deal with this, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, but there is a problem with him because I passed by his house on my way going to. And then I passed behind his house coming from. And I passed on the side going up. And then I passed down the other side, going down. And you know what I noticed? You had a hedge. All around here. And I couldn't help but notice when I looked over the hedge, how that boy was blessed. You blessed the labor of his hands. You increased him in everything. All around his house, I just saw blessed, 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 blessed. And I said to myself, ain't no sense in me fighting this one. The Lord's got him covered. So I considered him, but I knew I couldn't win that, so I passed. And all the reason why I'm going to just qualify why I knew I couldn't win this thing was because, you know, you had something to do with that. But God, I promise you, you know, Job ain't serving you for nothing now. Now, don't be no fool, God. I ain't trying to, you know, I'm just telling you, he's serving you because you blessing him. You stop blessing him, and I promise you, he'll curse you to your face. You think he's serving you for nothing? Matter of fact, if you bless me like that, I serve you too, brother. Somebody ain't getting this here this morning. But what God knew that Satan didn't know was, listen, that it wasn't about the stuff. Job served God because he was sovereign. Because he had a relationship with God. Because he understood that the only reason I got the stuff is because God and I are on good terms. The only reason why I got the stuff was because even before Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33, I was seeking God. And while I was seeking God, he just started putting stuff all around me. Every time I looked, I got blessed. Every time I turned around, I got blessed. Everywhere I was and sat my foot, I got blessed. I wasn't looking for stuff. I was looking for him. Now listen at this. Because what I want to tell you about this is three things about this. When trouble comes into your life, it's always to test you. And the first thing that it wants to do is to test your worth. Test your worth. Troubled times says more about you than it does about itself. And troubled times always reveals on the outside what is real on the inside. Troubled time reveals those things. There are some things that you will never know about a person unless you watch them go through some troubles. Matter of fact, trouble will reveal some stuff about yourself. To yourself when it shows up in your life. Matter of fact, you don't know how much you can take till trouble shows up. Matter of fact, you don't know how far you'll go till trouble shows up. You don't know how long and how hard you'll fight till trouble shows up. You really don't know what you're made of. Matter of fact, sometimes you fool yourself. Until trouble shows up. Now listen at this, because it began, first of all, to reveal his worth. The first thing that it did was said to him about his character and about who he was and whose he was in the Lord. After he hit him with his best shot and he continuously hit him with all of the things, listen at this, that he thought would cause Job to fold. See, what the devil does is, first thing, he hits you with what he thinks you love. Because if he take, look, he already told God, if you take from him all of these things, he'll curse you to your face. God told him, no, I'm going to let you handle that. Just don't touch him. Since your claim was, it's about stuff. It's about the things he has gotten and gained. If you think that's where his alliance and his allegiance and his love and his loyalty is, you take those things away from him, because I know better than that. Amen. So what it did was it hit him and removed everything that brought light and joy and love and laughter to the natural man away from Job. Amen. So that made his life dark. Yeah. Because all of the light of the things that illuminated him in the natural and in the flesh were removed. But you know, a true saying was spoken the other day that I read that said simply, stars shine best when it's dark. You don't really know what kind of star you are until it gets dark. And when it really gets dark, the darker it gets, the brighter Now, let me tell you the truth about that. The star is always shining consistently. And you don't appreciate it, nor do you recognize it until the sun moves out of its path. In other words, what I'm trying to help you understand about character is this. You are who you are in the day and in the dark. And Job was the same man when he was blessed as he was when he was burdened. There was no change in his character and his worth because he was the same man that God saw in good times and in bad times. Now, if you change because of the times, can I tell you, you are wishy-washy. You only happen when things are good. You only bless God when things are good. You're only thankful when you're on top or when something is going your way. If that's the reality, then all you're telling God is, God, I'm playing you. The only reason why I praise you and worship you is because you bless me, not because you deserve it. That's not this now. So the word says, then Job arose. Now look at what happens next, because it deals with not only his worth, but it deals with his walk. Bible says, and rent his mantle, that was his robe, and shaved his head. Now that was again a sign and a symbol of great mourning. It was a sign of true and deep sorrow. Listen at this, and fell down upon the ground. Now listen at this, because I need you to see this. When the devil hit him, he rose up. He got up. Shook off all of the effects of what the devil did. But when it came to come before God's presence, he fell down. That was an act of his will. Listen at this now. That was an act of his will. And why is that important? Because you're going to understand that in his walk, it has got to be a part of your will that you understand that God is in control no matter how out of control situations may be. As a part of his will, he went before God and his walk and acknowledged, God, you are still in control. He acknowledged before God, God, I am still who you made me. He went before God and he acknowledged, I humbled myself before thee. As always, in all things, he did not get upset and mad and angry with God because of the bad things that happened to him. As a matter of fact, and if you look at the text, you're going to find out that in the shaving of his head and the rending of his royal garments, he then ripped away all of those things that might tend to separate you from God and elevate you to the point where you believe you're untouchable. All of the things that the world symbolized again that was important. Job showed him and them that it was not important as him being in a right place with God. Now listen at this, because this is important. When he rents his robe, listen at this again. It is a symbol of, again, him understanding that he's renting, ripping, tearing apart anything that separates him from God. When he shaves his head, he again is signifying, again, as he removes all the hair from his head, that he is going back to the basic, to the beginning of the reality of life. Like he said, he came and he's saying to him, God, I am stripping myself of the rest that was not taken from me in this test to show you that I don't want nothing to stand between you and me. Now listen at this now. And then the word says, he fell down. Fell down with the quickness. Fell down intentionally. Fell down purposefully to worship God. Look, look, look. Now, let me help you because this is so important. As quick quick as the enemy comes and invades your life and tries to steal from you your joy and take away your stuff, before your heart gets hard and before your mind starts wandering and before you let pity get in, you need to get yourself in a place of worship before God and fall down before Him and begin to worship Him. Lord, I don't know what's going on, and you know, long as I know you in control, it really doesn't matter. But all I want you to know is I still love you. He's worshiping God. So listen at this now. There is a difference between worship and praise. Worship is giving God glory.